Lesson this morning is taken from John's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bishop Spain is a very powerful bishop, wonderful bishop. He served at one time as our interim. You may have remembered when Bishop Athey had been attacked and was recuperating. Bishop Spain became our interim bishop for South Carolina. He had a marvelous way about him. I attended some classes that he taught, and just a marvelous man. And I never will forget one story he told about his first pastorate. He was still a student at the time, a student pastor. And they sent him to serve this small, very rural congregation up in the mountains of Tennessee. Now, this was, I guess, sometime in the 40s, probably, something like that. And he went up there to serve as their new pastor. And so he said it was a very quaint little community, very tight little community, country people, hill people, and they had their ways and everything, but they loved their church. The church was on this little road that sort of came out from town and came up the side of the mountain, and the church was on top of the hill. And he said at the bottom of the street that took you up to the church was the community well. And the community well was there and had a bucket and had a dipper on the side of it. And that everybody, if they got hot or thirsty during the summertime, would go there and draw a bucket of water and take the dipper and drink water from the well and everything else. He said it was just a very quaint, wonderful community. He said after he'd been there just a short while, that a lady from the health department came to visit him. And the lady from the health department said, "It has come to our attention that this community is using one dipper to drink from the well." Now, I'm saying this so you all understand what a dipper is. I grew up, you know, we had that farm, it was an old-timey farm, and we had a well. On the side of the well, we had a dipper. And when we were in the fields, my Aunt Helen would bring a bucket of water from the well, and the dipper, it's basically like a ladle, and she would bring the dipper up there, and we would all stop, and we would all drink from water from the bucket from the well with the dipper. And nobody ever thought, wait a minute, we're all drinking from the same dipper. Nobody thought, well, the dipper hangs by the well, so it's there all the time and never gets washed or anything else. You know, it was just the dipper. That's what you did. It wasn't a gourd dipper. It was actually probably aluminum or something like that, may have been tin. But it was the dipper, and so you never thought about it. So I'm sure the people in this community didn't think about it. But the lady from the health department said, the people need to stop everyone in town drinking from this one dipper. She said, "I want to come and talk to your congregation and tell them, you must stop drinking from the dipper." Everybody can't drink from the same dipper. You're going to spread disease and germs and everything else. So the young pastor said, Bishop, who would later be Bishop Spain, he said, well, yes, come and speak to my congregation. He said, I had some fear and trepidation about it because that she was basically coming there to scold them and tell them not to drink from the dipper. So then he said she came and she was all ha 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 about it and everything else. And she talked to them and said, now you've got to stop drinking from the dipper. Everybody can't drink from the same dipper. You're going to have germs and disease and everything else. And he said, I could tell by looking at them, they were paying her no attention whatsoever. They were like, we've always drunk from the dipper. Nobody's ever gotten sick from drinking from the dipper. It's fine. Just go about your way. Go back to your city and everything else. And he said they were, you could just tell they weren't. He said then one of the little old ladies, who was sort of like the matriarch of the congregation, when the health department lady had finished and she could tell too that they were paying her no attention, she sat down and the little old lady said, can I say something? And the pastor said, yes, yes, come on up. And she looked at him and she said, God says you're not to drink from the dipper. God says it's wrong to drink from the dipper. And if any of you drink from the dipper, you're doing something God says is wrong. Do y'all get it? Everybody said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. The dipper was done away with. It was no longer any other problem whatsoever. Because she said, God said it's wrong. Wouldn't it be nice if all of our rules were just that simple? It's wrong, it's right. End of discussion, no discussion, wrong, right. But life isn't always that simple. We like to think it's wrong and right. We like to think it's just one way or the other. And then we realize, yeah, there's that great, odd, confusing gray area that comes across there as well. We have God's Word, and I can never adequately express my love for God's Word and my awe for God's Word. The fact that every time I open and read God's Word, even if it's Deuteronomy, even if it's Numbers, even if it's Leviticus, changes me. It speaks to me. It is, as John's gospel says, the living word. It doesn't matter how many versions and how many translations it's been through. It doesn't matter because God's Spirit resides here and God's Spirit speaks to us. God's Spirit is not muted. God's Spirit is not hushed. God's Spirit is not changed. I love God's Word. And I know that God's Word guides and directs us. And this first chapter of John's Gospel is one of my top favorites. You know, I always say, one of my favorites. But this is one of my top favorites. Because in many different ways, it defines Jesus, our Christ. It defines who Christ is. And it defines what Christ does. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. To me, that is the best definition of what we're about as Christians, about the church, about those who represent Christ in the world. We are becoming children of God. I don't think we can ever say we have become everything that we are to be in God's understanding of discipleship and understanding of faithfulness. But we are in the process of becoming children of God each and every day. And God takes us on that journey, and Christ is our constant companion on that journey. And it is great, and it is glorious, and it is filled with the Holy Spirit. United Methodist Church is in a position of making some rather massive decisions. We sent out an email yesterday. I received an email from our Bishop Holston for South Carolina. He outlined the proposal that has been put into place for the General Conference, which will meet in May of this year, May 5th through the 15th of this year in Minneapolis. And delegates from around the world will go. Our delegates from South Carolina will be attending as well. They'll be voting. And this is one proposal that has been carefully thought out and carefully considered from all different sides. It's been a lot of effort, big ordeal going into this. And this proposal is what they have finally agreed upon, but it is not done until the General Conference. The General Conference is the only group that can change things about the United Methodist Church in that regard, change the Book of Discipline. And so they'll be meeting. And so Bishop Holston is asking that every congregation be in prayer for the General Conference, which will be May 5th through 15th, and that we should continue to pray about this, because the proposal is, of course, that since we've been struggling with the issues of human sexuality for 47 years, we've been struggling with it. And actually, I guess that's the first documented time, so I'm sure we were struggling with it before then. But for at least 47 years, the church has been struggling with it. And this is a proposal where those who cannot agree and those who feel like we cannot be together can have graceful, amicable ways of forming their own denominations. That would be branches of the United Methodist Church, but not a part of the United Methodist Church. And so all the groups have agreed that this is the way forward, or one way forward. But like I said, nothing is decided until May 15th when General Conference finishes. Then hopefully they will make a decision and hopefully we will move forward from there. My thought about all this is that we keep in mind that we are becoming, that through Christ we have the power to become children of God, and that my belief is that that's what Christ calls us to do with all people, to walk beside them as God is walking beside us and as God is walking beside them, to become children of God. And what that means is very difficult to say. And what that means, I believe, is not for us to say, but that we walk with people and say to all people, let us walk together to become children of God. Bishop Olson asks that we follow the three simple rules that have been attributed to John Wesley. To do good, to do no harm, and to love God. And he says, let's keep those three simple rules in mind as we continue to pray for the life and the work and the fruitful nature of the church in all things. Let us pray.